luckier than other people in that respect. Written by Ermengarde and read by the Patty for Pod Together 2017. A bandom fic. Rated Gen. Summary. I cannot do any better than the summary, which I sent Patty way back at the start. So, I'm feeling Mikey, I think. Something back in Frank and Mikey cohabitating days? Maybe their apartment gets rats or something distressing, so they have to move in a hurry and end up in the attic of a converted big house, which is creepy as fuck. But A, cheap, and B, Frank likes creepy, and bonus C, Gerard wants to draw all of it, and Ray thinks sheep is good, and Otter thinks they're all effin' ridiculous. Seriously. And why is it he has to carry all the boxes of shit so no one dies? Additional notes following the fic. It is, like, definitely not Mikey's fault that their stupid, crappy apartment got rats. Even if Frank keeps fucking saying it's because Mikey's a disgusting slob who can't do dishes. Mikey can do dishes, he just chooses not to. It's like if you do them every 3 days, it doesn't take so much of your time. And also, Frank might get fucked off enough to do them himself, or Mom might visit or something. Anyway, he'll admit that the roaches maybe have something to do with him, but the giant structural support eating rats? Not so much. The people who come and put giant warning signs on the door saying "Danger, do not enter" told Frank that the infestation was coming up from the basement anyway. Because the building wasn't up to code and they had, like, an unkept sewer in there. Frankie ends up making good friends with the sign people because they need to get back in to get their stuff out and some of the landlord's stuff. They'll just say the rats must have eaten it if he asks. Anyway, they're evicted with no fucking notice, and Mikey is not fucking moving back in with Mom. She's, like, annexed his room as an art studio anyway. Frank says they can move in with his mom. But Miss Iroh is terrifying about laundry, and Mikey is pretty sure she'd murder him in his sleep because of his socks or something. They spend half the day hanging out in their favorite diner, drinking coffee and planning, and looking through the ads in 4 billion newspapers that get left behind when people have finished their half-calf semi-steamed mochas. There are, as Mikey expected, depressingly few places that are even close to their price range, and when they call, even those places, all in the terrifying bad part of town, have gone. It's after 3, and the sky is dark and threatening rain, and Ray's brother is going to want his van back soon, and Mikey is trying real hard to come to terms with the fact that he's going to have to move back into a room with C-3PO wallpaper and that smells of turpentine. Frankie's calling yet another fucking dead end from the payphone at the back of the diner, and Mikey's contemplating the end of the best living situation of his life and the cold remains of his 87th millionth cup of coffee. He is so jittery from all the caffeine that he nearly jumps out of his skin when there's a sudden bang on the window next to him. Gerard is outside, grinning like a half-rotten pumpkin. Mouth stretched wide and showing all of his tiny, ridiculous teeth and waving a flyer at him. Mikey raises his what the fuck eyebrow and waits for G to come inside and explain himself. Mikey, 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 I found you guys a place! Gerard slaps the flyer down on the table in front of him. It's one of those posters that's up on every notice board at SVA, a handwritten ad scrawled at the top and a bunch of tear-off strips with a phone number at the bottom. None of the strips are missing. How long has this been up? Mikey pulls the paper closer. It's probably going to be another depressing wash, but he should probably read it since she brought it all the way out to Jersey. Large penthouse apartment in a period property, 2 beds, 1.5 bath, kitchen, lounge, study, box room, would suit young people due to being on the 5th floor and narrow stairs. There's no way this is still available. It's a fuck ton of space for the money, and it's not even in a totally shitty part of town. Mikey looks up at G and gives him the "You're fucking ridiculous" face. Ha! Jordan sticks his tongue out. The ad only went up at lunchtime, and I took it back down and called immediately. You guys have an appointment in. Jordan checks his watch. Fuck, 8.5 minutes. Trud stands up and runs towards Frankie, making grabby hands at him, and Mikey gathers up all their shit from the table. He drops an extra $5 onto his tip to make up for the mountain of newspapers they're leaving behind them. They just about make it in on time for their appointment. Although Frank starts questioning Gerard's map reading skills when he sees the neighborhood they're heading towards, it is nice. There are big old-fashioned houses and wide streets and huge fucking gardens and shit. It's creepy how nice it is. They pull up to the gate to the house, and there's an old dude with a clipboard standing waiting for them. Frankie scrambles out of the van and goes to shake the man's hand. Frankie is much better at all the mismanners shit that old dudes like than Mikey or G. Mikey kind of forgets that people don't know him already, and G gets squirmy when people start looking at his clothes and hair and asking when they were last washed. It's easier if Frank does the polite stuff. The old dude looks a little overwhelmed at how enthusiastically Frank is greeting him. You're Mr. Way? And his, the guy looks at Mikey and G. Brother? Frank grins at him. I'm Mr. Aero. They're Mr. Way, he gestures at Mikey and G. Gerard is the one that called you. Mikey and I are the ones who are looking at the place. Ah, the man pulls his hand away from Frank. Welcome, gentlemen. I'm Mr. Kirk. Would you like to see the property? Mr. Kirk, it turns out, owns the place, but he can't manage the stairs up to the apartment, so he sends them up with the keys and waits for them in the entrance hall. The house is fucking amazing. The entrance hall is huge and square, and the stairs curl up round the walls. There's an enormous fireplace with a bench thing around it, like something in a book. And a big table in the middle that has letter trays for the mail marked with different apartment numbers. There are 9 apartments, it looks like. And as I head up, Mikey counts 2 numbered doors per floor. Mikes! Frank hisses. I think we get a whole fucking floor, dude. There are a fuck ton of stairs. Mikey wonders if they can get pizza delivered here, or if he's just going to starve rather than climb up and down. He's panting slightly by the time they get to the 4th floor, and the stairway changes from wide and carpeted to narrow, steep, and kinda dusty. Gerard pokes him in the shoulder. Hey, if the landlord can't get all the way up here, you guys totally won't get inspected or anything. You won't ever need to clean up. He sounds totally odd, but then Frankie turns around and death glares at him. So Mikey figures that cleaning up is probably going to be a completely inspection and independent part of his life. If the landlord can't get all the way up here, it's probably a shit heap that's never been maintained and that's why it's so cheap. Mikey is pretty sure there's something really fucking wrong with the apartment. The apartment is fucking perfect. Like, the ceilings are all angled and shit. And if Gabe ever visits, he's gonna have to walk on his knees. But the walls are all wood-lined, and half the windows are these cool round things and the pointy eaves bits of the roof, and it's kind of like being in a ship, except without the swaying and the vomiting and the pirates and the sharks. There are about 1 million doors. The 2 bedrooms, the half bath off the master bedroom, the main bathroom, the kitchen, the lounge, which has these fucking sweet windows that look out over the trees in the backyard, the kitchen, which is like the size of their whole last apartment and has a fucking table and chairs in it. The study, which G totally claims is his room. Whatever, they can get a futon. And the box room. And then all these other doors that, like, open into closet kind of things, built into the shorter bits of the roof. It is sweet. You're totally gonna take it, right? Gerard looks at Mikey and Frankie wide-eyed. Well, duh, Frankie rolls his eyes. We're gonna need Ray and Otter to help move our shit in, though. We'll die if we try to carry our TV up here. They almost tumble back down the stairs in their hurry to get to Mr. Kirk and Elise. And he smiles as he explains about the power and the water and the garbage chute and the fact that there's no disposal in the kitchen, but there is cable. He doesn't even need a first and last, which is fucking amazing, because that means they can totally eat more than just ramen for the next 6 weeks. They sign the lease, and then spend half an hour driving around to find a phone box to call the guys to come help them move their shit in. Ray brings an old futon with him, and Mikey's, like, 90% sure they'll never get rid of G, because G won't fucking shut up about how much he needs to draw the place. Frankie keeps showing off how creepy it is with all the doors and the old trees outside and the creaking and the space. Seriously, it would be totally easy to lose someone in their apartment and not even notice. But Ray is mostly impressed with how cheap it is and the fact that they've got cable. Otter grumbles about being the only friend they have who isn't entirely made of fucking twigs. And if they're going to move to an apartment halfway to the fucking moon, can they please find some strong friends first next time? Mikey mostly hides from Otter. It's better just to let him get on with it. Hiding in the shadows of the fireplace in the entrance hall is how Mikey meets Ed, who lives on the first floor and has a weed farm in the backyard. Ed gives him a fuck ton of weed as a bribe not to call the cops. It is awesome. Ed and his awesome weed totally explains why Mikey is still mostly living out of boxes 3 weeks after they move in. Only like his clothes and books and shit. Frankie's totally organized the fuck out of the rest of the apartment, including the study that Gerard's annexed. Frank makes his terrifying organizing face at 8 a.m. is the only reason why Gerard's ever actually gone home since they moved in. Gerard going home, however, means Gerard coming back. And Gerard coming back when Mikey's just moved into a new place means Donna's totally driving him over and coming to look at the apartment. Mikey is totally fucking happy with his floor and box strobe combo. But he's pretty sure that his mom's going to ask him pointed questions about why he's ignoring the perfectly good wardrobe. Mikey would really prefer that she doesn't nag him and that she gives him, like, $30 to buy something nice. So he makes a pot of coffee, watches 3 hours of cartoons, and rolls up his sleeves. He can totally get his room tidy. About 9 billion hours later, Mikey is hot, dusty, sore, and annoyed. Mom and G will be at the apartment in, like, an hour, and he's still fucking surrounded by boxes. Who fucking knew that hanging band shirts in order could take so long? Like, okay, he had to restart a couple of times until he decided that it was easier to remember the year the shirt was issued, rather than when he acquired it. But, like, not fair, man. Mikey slumps on the floor behind the biggest pile of boxes. Fuck it. He can totally hide them in the roof space. He's unpacked enough stuff that Mom won't notice that it's not all there. Mikey twists the stiff wooden catch on the door into the roof space and opens it. It makes a creak loud enough to wake the dead. Who are probably sleeping inside? Dead people. Or spiders. Probably. It's dark inside, and there are a whole lot of coats hanging up. Like someone used it to store their winter gear and forgot about it when they moved out. Mikey shrugs. More coats will be useful in the winter, and they've forgotten to pay the heat again. And he grabs the nearest box and shoves it inside. He figures if he pushes it right to the back, there should be enough space for everything. But it's fucking heavy, and he ends up folded almost in half to put his full weight behind it, and it still takes forever to reach the back, and the coats keep catching on his back and in his hair, and it's fucking freezing. And is that mud? Ed's weed is fucking psychotropic. Fucking Ed. Normally, Mikey just gets, like, zorbing colors and really big hands and shit when he takes acid. Not, like, a forest with tweeting birds and mud and fucking trees that keep catching in his hair. Oh my god. Mikey tugs a particularly ferocious branch that's gotten totally tangled in his hair. But when he eventually gets it loose, he trips over a tree root and falls headlong into a stream. He has just long enough to wonder if this is his brain's interpretation of a broken pipe before he passes out. When he wakes up, his head is throbbing slightly, but he's sitting on something soft and wrapped up cozy warm. He can hear a crackling noise, and there's a smell like Elena's kitchen when he was little. He moans slightly as he squints open his eyes. He doesn't have his glasses on, and everything is blurry. Oh my! Oh my! You're awake! Gentle hands put his glasses on his face. Whoa. Perched on its back legs on the couch next to him is a really fucking big cat. It must be a Maine Coon or some shit. And it's pushing his glasses onto his face with a paw. Hi? Mikey is totally not sure how you're supposed to greet a cat. You're hallucinating. Like, he figures he should probably be polite and shit, but he's not really good at that. The cat coughs. Would you be, a human type person? Yeah? He kind of wishes his arms weren't wrapped up in a blanket. Oh, we've not had one of your kind here for a very long time. Everyone will be most excited to meet you. Okay. Mikey does like meeting people. People are mostly kind of rad. The cat, it turns out, is called Mr. Pushuck, and he makes a really good cup of hot tea and some less good cake. Mikey tries to hide the hair he has to spit out. Cooking all that fur must be hard. Mr. Pushuck has like literally a billion friends, and they all crowd into his cozy little lounge to meet Mikey. He thinks he can identify everyone's species, but he really doesn't know what Mrs. Stripet is. She's fucking scarily enormous and striped, kind of like a raccoon, but not. He's pretty sure she could snap him in two, so he doesn't ask. Maybe he can check a book later. It's nice, this weird tea party, but it's warm and almost stuffy, and Mikey is tired. He stifles a yawn, but not very well, and Mr. Pushock jumps up from where he's curled up by the fire. Oh, Mr. Way is tired. Everyone must go home and let him sleep. Mikey struggles out of his blanket. What time is it? One of the squirrels checks its watch. A little after 4. Oh, shit. Oot! My mom! He is so late. Mom is going to kill him. I have to go. I'm sorry. He stands and almost trips, kicking the blanket off his feet. Thank you. It's been awesome. He runs out of the little cottage and back into the forest. He has no fucking clue where he is, but he can hear the stream and see a light in that direction, so he goes that way. He figures the roof space can't really be that big, so he can't really get lost. He finds the messed up bank of the stream where he fell in, and he finds his box of shit, and then he notices the dark bit where the mud turns into wooden boards. The door back into his room is closed over, and it is stiff when he pushes it, but it's not locked, and once he gets over his panic that he's trapped in here forever, he manages to open it pretty easily. His room is still a shithole, but there's no anthropomorphic creatures or trees, so he figures that maybe his Edweed-induced trip is over. He looks at the clock by his bed. It's only 2:30, which is weird, but gives him enough time to shove most of his boxes under the bed and to stack the others kind of sort of neatly before G and Mom arrive. Mom doesn't even want to see his room when she walks in, panting. She just collapses in a chair in the kitchen and lights a cigarette. It's so clean. Has Frankie banned you from the kitchen again, baby? She asks. No. But he doesn't think so, anyway. He might just have not been paying attention, but he figures Frankie wouldn't have made up all those rules if he wasn't allowed in at all. I just shouldn't open the fridge, turn on the oven, or use the toaster. I can totally be in here. Mom snorts. He's such a good roommate for you. Mikey frowns. He only fucked up the toaster once. I totally think you should be allowed refrigerator rights. Gerard grins at him and gives him an enormous, ridiculous hug. It's nice. But then Gerard pulls away and sneezes like 400 times. Sorry, it must be the dust from the roof space. I'm not allergic to dust. Gerard pulls a long brown hair off of his sleeve. Since when do you have a cat? The end. For now. Podfigures notes. Oh my gosh, I was delighted by every word of this with every email that I would receive because oh my gosh, Ermengarde. Aha! Oh, it's perfect in every way. Seriously, come play because it's a romp. It was a romp. I had a blast. Yes, thanks for listening.